This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
When I hit the ground, I stumbled, and I knew right that instant he got me.
Just from that stumble?
Just from that stumble. And I stumbled, and when he come back around, his next step was both front feet right here on my hips.
He had you pinned down?
And he just kept wearing me out. And I can remember him just feeling them ribs. And I'm thinking, I'm going to die right here. Howdy, my name is Kent Rollins. I've been a cowboy and a chuck wagon cook for over 30 years, cooking for ranches all across America. You might have seen me on the Food Network or alongside my beautiful wife, Shannon, on our YouTube show, where we share cowboy cooking from the trail. But now we're going to take you behind the scenes to real campfire conversations. Join us as we share humor, cowboy wisdom, and stories full of history, heart, faith, and of course, a little fire. So grab you a cup of coffee, pull up a chair, and welcome to the podcast.
Kent, you've had a lot of jobs and hobbies aside from cowboy cooking, and we have talked about this a little bit in previous podcast episodes. But I want to take some time and...
Wait a minute. What's the laughter for?
Well, because I was going to say this particular hobby slash job was maybe the one that hurt the most consecutively.
At times it did, yes.
And that was, and a lot of you may not even know this, but Kent, you had somewhat of a interesting career as a bull rider.
Yes, ma'am.
And rodeo life.
Yeah, it was something I grew up with. You know, my dad was not only a cowboy, but he rodeoed. And my older brother, who I at the time idolized, you know, he was a great horseman. He rode bulls, he rode calves, he rode bareback horses.
And that was Randy.
Yeah, and he was a great teacher.
Okay, and then you had your middle brother, Dale, and he was not in the rodeo circuit.
No, he was smarter than me and Randy.
I mean, you mentioned that, like, with your dad and then your brother, but what was it? You just had an interest in it?
Well, we always had it in the family. You know, we were going to a rodeo or some kind of horse show nearly every weekend when I was little, you know, and we had an old, this sounds like punishment for children, you know, but we had an old wooden camper that fit on the pickup.
Oh, yeah.
And they would stick me and Dale and Randy in that camper. And you might not get out for 2 or 3 days, seemed like, you know. But we was somewhere in the summer nearly every weekend.
So how far would you go?
Oh, when Randy was showing horses at the time, him and Daddy, we'd go to Kansas, you know. They even went up into Iowa some. You were always all parts of Oklahoma, some parts of Texas, you know.
So was it Randy that really then got you into wanting to kind of pursue this?
Yeah, he told me, he said, you know, little brother, he said, you make a good bull rider. He said, you're the right size. You know, you never seen any tall bull riders. You never seen any overweight. I think it's the balance of muscle in a way, but also it's just easier for center of gravity, I think.
Oh, interesting.
And so he said, we just need to practice, you know.
That sounds dangerous.
It was. But we had a deal, and some of y'all might have ever seen these. I don't know. It was called a buck and barrel, you know. It was four posts that stuck up out of the ground about 16 foot tall. And then just an old 55-gallon barrel that had holes that had been drilled in it. And you run a rope through them holes. And Randy was nice enough. He put a saddle blanket on the barrel, and he actually had a bull rope. Now, at the time, bull ropes were made out of grass rope. They wasn't poly or anything like that. And people would get a hold of the ropes, you know, because it's setting at an angle when it comes down through there. And people would be on different ropes, and you could make it go one way back and forth, or you could twist it one way or twist it, you know.
Okay, okay.
And he really loved to see me get my head beat on that barrel at times, you know.
How old were you at this point?
Oh, I'd say 10, maybe.
Okay, so your rodeo career started early.
Yeah. And this was a program that I think he had worked out, you know. I don't recommend it. I've been through it. But the buck and barrel was like a couple of weeks. And then he told me, he said, you're ready to go to arena. You're ready to be a real bull rider.
So was he manning the thing, or were kids in the neighborhood? I'm feeling like it's like a kid in the neighborhood kind of situation, and everybody's trying to like get somebody killed off.
Yeah, he had friends that he rodeoed with that were there. Jimmy Cleveland was there. Dave Trammell was there. And people love to see little kids get hurt back then, I think.
You know? Kids do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was entertainment, I think, for them, you know, and it sort of give you the motion of maybe what you was going to go through. But when you're 10 years old and them barrels, them 55-gallon barrels are pretty round. It's hard on your growing muscles, you know.
Yeah.
Stretches you out pretty hard. But I can remember I was so excited when he said, you have mastered the bucking barrel.
Oh.
We're going to the arena, and you're going to become a bull rider. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, my day has finally come. So we get down there because we lived on a hill up there, and the rodeo arena wasn't 100 yards from the house. So we go down there, and I don't know where he gets this yearling calf from. It was in the buck and shoot when I got there, you know.
And when you're saying yearling calf, like how big is this calf? Is this like a little cute fuzzy thing?
He's about 500 pounds.
And he's probably angry.
He ain't too pleasant, you know. And I had my little bull rope with me. I carried it down there. Had on my boots, had on my spurs, you know.
So you're feeling good.
I was finna go to the national finals right here. It was finna happen. And Randy told me, he said, you're not going to use a rope.
Oh.
And I said, wait a minute, Randy. Every bull riding I ever seen, they had a bull rope. Yeah, but he said, this is still practice. He said, you haven't earned that bull rope yet.
Okay.
So he's in the chute with me.
So you've got the calf in the arena.
In the chute.
Oh, the calf is in the chute.
In the bucking chute.
Okay, so that's like behind the arena. It's kind of squeezed in.
Yeah.
And that's where it's squeezed, and then you get on top, right? And then it opens up and goes.
But Randy's in there with me to give me all these pointers. The calf is just sort of going bouncing back and forth in that chute. Because you take a 500-pound calf in a bucking chute where there's usually would probably be an 1,800-pound bull. There's a lot of room in there, you know.
Okay. And so, and let me just clarify. I'm assuming there's no adult supervision going on.
Let me see. Randy was 16 at the time. He's an adult.
Close enough.
You know. So he told me, he said, get on, little brother. And I said, what about the rope? And he said, you don't need a rope. This is where I thought maybe so my teacher was not all he was supposed to be. I mean, you've been in classrooms and these people be telling you something and you think, this ain't right. This can't be. So he reached up to the top of the chute and he got this probably 3-foot piece of cotton rope. It ain't going to go around that calf's belly. It's too big, you know. And he ties my feet underneath him.
No.
Yes. And it's like you're shackled to him. I mean, he just tied around both boots and then just pulled it tight.
This can't be an approved training method. This has just got to be like little older brother showing you. Who's the boss?
He told me, he said, you're going to learn to ride with your knees, mash your knees. You're going to learn balance.
Is now, this real?
Yes.
Is that a real technique?
Probably not. Randy might have had a bull riding school that I never knew of, but I didn't see any more students. It was just me. So he's got me tied on there, and I said, well, Randy, I'm going to need to have to hang on some. He said, just grab a hold of his hide. So I'm sort of leaning over a little, and I got a hold of some hair, you know, and he opens the gate. And this is where I thought I probably should have just stayed and washed dishes at home.
Is the point it hit?
I mean, my legs was tight. I had and it was.
There's no getting away.
No, but you can roll under.
Yeah, but then your head is getting
flopped
on the ground, right?
It wasn't so much that he was getting thumped on the ground, but every time he was running and them back feet come forward, he'd kick me in the back of the head. And he was bellowing, but I could hear Randy laughing the whole time, saying this, you got him, little brother, you go. You're supposed to be on the top, not on the bottom, you know. It didn't take but one of these sessions right here, just one. And I rethought the whole situation about coming bull riding.
Did you ever do any bareback riding, like rodeo-wise?
Well, he told me later on, about 4 or 5 years, I think he planned this stuff out every once in a while. He'd let me get over some of the trauma that I had the first time.
And like he thinks you're going to forget?
Yeah.
And then go back?
So he told me, he said, I think you'd make a really good bareback rider, you know? Well, there's just a bareback rigging that's on a horse, and you're supposed to... Once they mark them out, your feet is above the withers when they come out of the chute.
And the withers are what?
Shoulders. Upper and top of the shoulders. So he told me, he said, we'll just start with this little old mare. She won't buck too hard.
That's your first clue.
Yes. And this old mare didn't buck a lick. But she could have won the Kentucky Derby.
Oh!
I mean, I was having wind burns and my old straw hat. The brim had folded straight back up. I mean, we're going probably 68. And there's a fence up there, you know. And I could hear Randy hollering, she's going to turn. Go with her. You know, and we're getting closer. And I'm thinking, is she going to go left? Is she going to go right? She didn't do neither. She just run head on into the fence.
You're kidding.
It was a bull wire fence. And when she hit it, it throwed me over the fence, you know. And sort of like a yard dart out there in that the little pen. And I told him, I said, I'm never doing this again. You know, I never had any desire to become a bareback rider.
Yeah, so talk to me about that. How did you decide to do bull riding? Because there are a lot of events within the rodeo circuit, whether it's PRCA or WRCA.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, those are two different rodeo circuits. Slightly different events in each one. So why bull riding?
Well, when I was 13, 14, I just quit bull riding, you know. And I roped a lot. We had a lot of good roping horses. And I knew how to rope calves, tie them down, you know. And it was easier than bull riding, you know. Because you could have got hurt, but it's not like you've got 70% chance of getting run over, you know. So roping become pretty well a passion of mine. And Randy was a great calf roper too. And that's the time when he went to the high school finals and all this had happened. But after he graduated and moved, when I was about 16, 17, I got into what they called the Little Britches Rodeo Association.
Whoa.
And it would be one of them deals you'd have to call to enter, you know, and it'd say books open at 9 a.m.
Okay. But so you're 17, Little Britches feels like it should be.
No, it was, they had two groups. It was like 14 and under and then 15 to 18. It was high school sort of in a way.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And so you'd get up at 9 o'clock and you had a rotary phone, you know, and you'd try to get called in before they got booked out. Before everything was taken, you know. And I remember going one summer, went pretty hard. Me and a friend of mine, Spud Seddon, he is a calf roper. He never even wanted to be no bull rider. He didn't have heart for it, but he liked to rope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Shem, being out there on the wagon 3, 4, 5 days, up to 4, 5, 6 weeks, and sometimes I don't get to shave often and used to. I toted them little old disposable razors and they'd gouge you up something awful. But when I got me one of them Harry's razors and some of their shaving cream, first of all, I fell in love with the little shaving cream deal. That stuff, it just, and it don't take very much.
That's what I like.
And when you put it on there, you feel the difference right off. You feel to say, oh, this is going to be a pleasant experience. And the razor fits your hand so well. And it's such a smooth, finished product when you get through. I even had you say to me, oh my gosh, you look so good.
I give it the one swipe test. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like after one swipe, did it get all the hair? And Harry's does it.
You know, Shan, their razors are sharp. They are nice. Their blades are honed at 3 different angles to give you the perfect edge that you need. But there's space too, just right in there, so there's no clogging. A lot of times, if you ain't shaved in 4 or 5 days and you drag that across there, you can't go back. You got to get that out, so you get the wire brush and the vacuum cleaner out, you know.
What I love about Harry's too is if you don't like your shave, they will make it right. No questions asked.
For a limited time, our listeners can get Harry's Plus trial set for only $10 at harrys.com/cowboykent. This set includes all the new Harry's Plus razor, 1 refined 5-blade cartridge, a 2-ounce foaming shave gel, and a travel cover. Head to harrys.com/cowboykent, and after your purchase, tell them Cowboy Kent sent you.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number 1 rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I remember coming back one time and I'd won like a second in the calf roping, second in the bull riding, had 2 trophies, you know.
Nice.
Carried them in the house. I was pretty proud of them. And my dad looked at me and he said, you know, you've been going them things all summer. He said, you can't eat one of them trophies and it ain't buying you no gas money.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of rethought the situation. You know, I'm thinking, well, I'll just start going to them amateur rodeos with Randy, you know.
And that's where you can win some money.
Yeah. You know, entry fee $20. You might get the chance. If you won first, you might get $150.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's big money.
Right.
You know, back in 70. And, but it, I don't know. I don't think my heart was in it as much then. Because Randy would tell me that they'll have some junior bulls, you know. They didn't have no junior bulls. You was on the same bulls that the high school people was on, the Amateur Rodeo Association was on. They didn't care if you was 9 years old or you was 29, you know.
Yeah.
And I quit when I was 18. I just thought, you know, I'm through riding.
You just didn't have the passion for it.
Well, I'd won some bull ridings, and I even went to clowning some rodeos. After that, and sort of enjoyed that, you know.
When you say clowning rodeos, what is that?
You know, they have a bullfighter at a rodeo clown, and he's there to save the cowboy if something gets to going wrong, you know. But It was one of them deals too, where you could get in a bind pretty quick, get run over.
As a clown?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Because you're the distraction.
Right? When I was 23, I started back.
And why?
Because I was going to some rodeos roping, you know, and I'd see people falling off stuff I thought I could ride, you know, and I'm thinking, you just got to have the heart for it. You got to want it. But I rode bulls really good from 23 to about 34.
And that's a long string for rodeo world, right? And especially bull riding.
It's one of them deals where I prepared myself physically, but more mentally. And I'd never done that before when I was in high school, mentally, you know. Oh. You would track your motion. I'd get behind the chutes and I'd say, this is what's going to happen. You know, always prayed a lot before I ever got there, before I ever got on. I learned something through them last, I'd say, 6 years riding bulls, because I was going hard. You know, I'd go every weekend.
Well, so the reason you got back into it was just the challenge of it?
I think so. And there's a rush too, and the adrenaline rush that you get. I mean,
is it different than any other event or experience you've had when you're talking about that adrenaline rush?
At the time, yes. You know, I mean, you're sitting there on top of anywhere from 17 to 100 to 2,000 pounds, you know, and he's an athlete too.
That's a great point.
I mean, this bull knows what he's going to do. You know, he's been doing it for the last 4 or 5 years and he's enjoying it.
Yeah.
And so when I say they're athletes, and bulls have sure changed from what they were when I was riding to what they are in the PBR, the PRCA. I mean, the bloodlines are so strong and so stout. These bulls are worth tons of money, you know, and they are bucking machines. That's what they do. I mean, they know what's going on. There was nobody wore helmets then like you see now, and I'm so glad they got them. Nobody had vests back then. You know, it was rough.
When you're on it, what does that 8 seconds feel like? Does it go super fast or does it feel like slow motion?
Sometimes it felt like it took forever.
Yeah.
You know, and then sometimes you'd think, because you'd feel like you was one with the bull. And you were both in motion. You could feel it. Everything was there. And you're thinking, I wish this could last another 8 seconds. You know, because everything was just right. And you knew when you hit the ground that you had done your job. But there's so many times that you'd hit the ground and your first instinct is get up and get out of the way.
Right.
You know, it ain't one of them deals where you're going to lay there on the ground, make a snow angel or something, you know, because you're fitting to get a thrashing, I promise you. And, but I was very fortunate. I prayed a lot. Good Lord took care of me. I mean, sure, there was broke ribs, dislocated joints, you know.
Ripped muscles.
Yeah, ripped a muscle back here on my forearm. And that's when a guy told me, he said, you can ride left-handed. That didn't happen, I promise you there. But I knew my time was getting to where, hey, you ain't got a lot of years left for this, you know.
So you said that you ended at 34.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep.
What is the average retirement age of a bull rider? Is it 34? Is it around 34?
I don't know. I'd say there is a lot of them pro rodeo cowboys now, you know, riding bulls, and they're athletes. They are. And I'd say, you know, 19 to maybe 30, you know, is peak time. But 19 to 25 is probably the best.
Was it age that made you retire? What was it?
Some of it was age and some of it was, I was thinking, you know, I got two kids now, you know, something could happen. You know, the Lord doesn't say I'm going to guarantee you won't have another day tomorrow. There was another thing that was determined quitting. And that was the ground got really hard when I was 34 and I couldn't get out of the way as fast as I used to could.
Yeah.
You know, when I was 29, 30, 31, 32, and I'd go to them rodeos and there'd be these 17, 18, 19-year-old cowboys, you know, and I call them kids and I don't mean no disrespect to them. And they'd say, well, the old man's here, you know. And
at 30, you were the old guy? Yeah. Crazy.
And I remember some of them saying, you better watch out. That old man will get you money, you know. And But when you'd go to 3-4 a week, it began to wear on you pretty hard. You know, if you got beat up, bruised up.
Well, but and then with age also comes wisdom and experience. But what was your mental training like? How did that improve and how did that make you better?
I think mentally, I used to just think, you know, I just show up, get on, get her done, you know.
And you're probably like cocky, like
a little bit,
the kid that could ride anything.
I found out that didn't work.
Yeah.
But to be there, and I won't say it was like meditation, but I would sit there behind the chutes, or I'd get on a fence, and you knew what you drawed at the time. You knew which bull you was going to ride. Mm-hmm. And most of the time you had seen this bull before, or somebody would tell you what he had done, you know, and you'd try to, I just sit in the quiet and try to imagine each second and just run it back over and over and over. Now, it's not guaranteed that, hey, this bull's going to jump out there and go to left about 3 times, then jump out of it and go to right, you know. He might have thought, you know, I think I'm going to change things up today. And it was all about you have to be prepared for change, you know. There was so many ways that when I was riding bigger, big old stout bulls, 2,100 pounds, something like that, that you didn't ride so much with your feet. And then what I mean by that is get such a big hold with your spurs and mash more with your knees, pull more with your arm to try to keep all that pressure off them old groins, you know. And
mentally, how did you beat a bull?
I don't know that you ever really beat him completely.
Really?
I mean, you can ride him, you know, and you might have drawn the same bull in 2 weeks again and he buck you off second jump. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, if you're still riding bulls out there today and you're 36, 37, you know, I admire you, I do, because at one time they was telling me, hey, you need to get an Old Timers Rodeo Association, you know? And I'm thinking, I think I'm just going to quit, you know?
Was it hard after you quit to then go to rodeos?
Yeah, it bothered me bad, you know, because some of them stock contractors or someplace that have a rodeo, they'd call and they'd say, hey, you can come judge this bull riding, you know, and they pay you $200. And I'm thinking, I'll come do this, you know, get my little stopwatch, my little clipboard, get out there in the arena. And I'd go and I'd see some really good bull rides, I would. And then I'd see somebody fall off something that I was pretty sure that I could still ride, mm-hmm. you know. And then I'd think, I'm going to go next weekend. I'm going to call. I'm going to go. Finally, I took my rigging bag, my rope, my leggings, spurs, and I put it where I couldn't see it.
Oh, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
You've mentioned all the different ailments, breaks, rips that you've had. Was there one moment where you thought, oh, this is not good?
Yeah. This was when I was about 27. And I was a member of the TCRA, the Texas Cowboys Rodeo Association, and had a good year. There was like 3 rodeos left for the finals. They take the top 15 contestants, you know, to go to the finals that they had. I was number 12 at the time. And, but 3 more rodeos to go, a lot can change.
Oh, sure.
And, cause it was based on money won, you know. So Childers, Texas, and, drawed this old bull that nobody liked, you know.
And why is that?
Hey, just what you'd call an eliminator, you know.
An eliminator?
Yeah. They'll run them in still today in places. They'll have so many bulls in there, you know, from different stock contractors all over. And then they'll just have one night that, hey, we're going to put some eliminators in there, something that's going to get you bucked off, might get horn in your head, you know, get you run over, drug
they
around.
They know these bulls are tough.
Yeah. And this, looking at this bull, you wouldn't think that. He didn't have no horns. And I remember Randy telling me a long time ago, if they ain't got no horns, they can't hurt you. And that's a lie. Randy, you lied to me, brother. You did. I love you, but that didn't work. He was a Hereford Bramer cross, and he was really long-bodied. You put him in a chute, they'd have to leave the back chute gate open just a little because he was so long. And nobody ever got away from him without getting a hooking. I'd seen him break arms. You know, I'd seen him break a guy's hip. I seen him just beat the snot out of people with his old head because he'd hold you down with his front feet.
Oh, my gosh.
Just have him on you and just go to beating on you with that old head, you know. And I kept telling that stock producer, stock contractor at the time, Freddie Cordell, I said, you should get rid of him, Freddie. He's going to hurt somebody. He said, crowd loves it.
Oh, I bet.
You know.
And it's the gladiator in Rome.
And I get over that night, and that's what I drawed, you know.
Okay, so when you know you have drawn a quote-unquote eliminator,
mm-hmm.
how does that change your head game?
Well, there was times in years past where I'd draw one of them, where somebody knew what I'd drawed before I got to rodeo, and Reisinger, the guy that made my bull ropes, got me over at Cash one time. It was an added money rodeo sponsored deal. And I was fixing to walk in to the arena and go pay my fees. And he caught me by the arm and he said, no, you ain't going. I said, what do you mean? He said, you drawed 161. And he was one of them old bulls, had a horn that come back. He shelled teeth out nearly every week. He said, ain't no sense in it. You know, so he turned him out. And then I'm thinking, people going to think I'm a coward? And he said, no, people going to think you're smart.
Yeah.
You know, so... three more rodeos go before the finals. People that ride this bull that I had drawn that night at Childers won most of the time, you know. But you were going to pay for that winning so bad. And so I got out there. Bull riding's last event.
Uh-huh.
You know.
It's a grand finale.
And there was this guy there. He was a clown. And I'd been a bullfighter. I knew how.
Yeah.
And this guy... I don't know if it was his true calling in life.
Okay.
We won't mention his last name, but his first name was Buffy.
And there can't be too many Buffys in the world.
Buffy the bullfighter. And I told him, I said, Buffy, you know what's going to happen. And I said, you better be there when I hit the ground. And he just looked at me. I said, I mean it, brother. I said, I've known you a long time. I said, be there when I hit the ground. He wasn't there. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, Shan's summertime is here. I mean, with a vengeance at times because it gets hot. But only with summertime, too, you get maybe an abundance of company. Kids invite people over. Relatives come in. Everybody wants to go do something. You go to the beach. It can pile up and be a little overwhelming at times, and it can.
You know, with me especially, like with the change of seasons, sometimes that's hard. And so it's really great if you have somebody that you can talk to, and that's why BetterHelp is a great resource. I've used them in the past. And don't feel like you have to have something significant or an event in your life to use BetterHelp. You can just use them for everyday things, like maybe your summer plans didn't go as you thought.
As we get all this piled on us in summer, kids is out of school. We love the kids, we do, but my gosh, now they're here 24 hours a day. Everybody's calling. Everybody's wanting something. You forgot to take this over here. You forgot to make this dish for the church social. And then you find out, I don't know that I can get all this done.
Yeah.
I don't know who to turn to.
That's why BetterHelp is a great resource just to talk to somebody who's there to listen. And they're also licensed. So they have tools and tricks that can really help you. It's just like talking to your best friend, but they have a little more expertise in the situation. They are the world's largest online therapy platform. Over 30,000 fully licensed U.S. therapists to help you out.
You know, and you'll have a short question there to match you with a therapist that you need. They're not just going to give you one. You're going to get matched up with someone that can fit your needs.
You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. BetterHelp can help you. Sign up for 10% off at betterhelp.com/cowboy. That's betterhelp.com/cowboy.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Did you make the 8 second?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, when you're writing this, is it feeling smooth? Are you feeling good? Or are you knowing?
I'm knowing when I hit the ground, I'm getting to eat.
Really?
Yeah, he was out of way. He was not going to get away from me.
So the hardest part wasn't like being on him.
He was rank, you know, but everything was just right that night.
Good.
And I'm thinking, hit the ground, run.
Okay.
You know, and I was going to try to hit the ground on my feet, which is, you can do that at times.
Okay.
And the old arena was plowed a little deep that night. And when I hit the ground, I stumbled. And I knew right that instant, he got me.
Just from that stumble?
Just from that stumble. Because he was going to the left. I get off to the right. And I stumbled. And when he come back around, his next step was both front feet right here on my hips.
He had you pinned down?
And he just kept wearing me out. And I can remember him just feeling them ribs, you know. And I'm thinking, I'm going to die right here. And a good friend of mine, Joe Johnson, and you met Joe.
Yeah.
He went with me a lot. And people would say, that guy's going with me now, because Joe would jump over whatever he had to come out there and get me no matter what was happening.
Where is Buffy at this point?
Buffy is on the chute.
Getting popcorn.
He is just sitting up there hollering at me, get up.
That was his strategy, just to yell at you?
And Joe finally got me out from there. And him and another guy, they drug me back up there against bucking chutes. And I was just, you couldn't get nowhere. I knew a rib was broke, you know. And I just couldn't breathe. And I remember just sort of leaning back in pain. And first thing I seen was Buffy above me. And I struggled to my feet, you know. Had to hold to that old chute. And I looked at him, I said, Buffy, you need to give this job up. And he said, I'm sorry, Kent. I said, Buffy, when you got a job you're going to do, and this is what your title is, bullfighter, that's your job. You're going to sacrifice yourself for that cowboy that's on the ground if you're true to your job. And I coached on him for a long time that night waiting for the ambulance. And I just kept on telling him, either quit or get it done. One of the two. Because you're gonna get somebody hurt real bad.
Yeah.
You know. And I didn't know it till about 3 weeks later. That same bull got him down.
Got Buffy down?
Yeah. He was trying to make a hand, broke his ribs, you know, and he quit after that, which is probably good. But if you're gonna do a job in life, you need to realize that is your responsibility, because someone else is counting on you. Mm-hmm. It's just not like, well, I think today I'm going to be a dentist. I ain't never been one before, but
we'll see how it goes.
We'll get two pair of pliers and a hammer. I think I can go to town, you know. But that knocked me out of going to the finals. Mm-hmm. I tried to get on the next weekend, couldn't do it,
yeah.
You know. But I thank God, because I could have been a whole lot worse.
Absolutely.
You know, so I think I got on one more bull after that. And
That year.
And it was late in the year, and was at an indoor deal in January. And everything felt the same except for that one little memory you get in the back of your mind that says, when you hit the ground, this could be the last time you hit the ground.
fear got in there a little from that incident, you know?
Yeah.
And when you, I mean, it's good to have fear. You need to have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when it's mentally, when I would prepare, it would always go back to, this might be the last time. I could get hurt really bad because I'd, good Lord, it took care of me. I'd never been hurt so bad that I couldn't go the next week. Now I may have 464 yards of tape on me somewhere,
yeah.
You know, but this was the one that made me realize your heart's not in it anymore.
Oh.
I think it's time to do something else, you know. And I struggled with it for a long time. I did because I got to where I was pretty good at it. I enjoyed it. But just that fear and unknown, you know, and I'm sure all them young guys that's out there, they've had that. They've seen some bad wrecks, some really bad injuries. You know, people have died from it. But it's always got to be back in there somewhere, I think. And to remind you, maybe in a way, do you think it's a good thing it's there, Shannon, or a bad thing?
Well, I definitely think fear can be good, especially it's a signal
yeah.
to yourself, like, watch out. But I think the biggest thing I took away from this is the passion.
Yeah.
You have to have the passion to do good, to be good, to share that with others. What was your biggest takeaway from all your years of bull riding?
I think, too, it was about accomplishing something that gave me the pride to try to do better every week.
Well, you put a lot of work into it.
Yeah,
you didn't just, you know, every weekend, hey, I'm going to jump on here and see yeah. what happens. There was a lot of training, both physically and mentally.
It was something that if I knew I was going to do and do well, I had to work at it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there is God-given gifts for athletes, for anything in life, that you have the ability, but do you have the mental capability as well?
I think that's a very good point. What gift has God given you? And then what are you going to do with that
yeah.
gift? Are you going to share it with people? Are you going to let your light shine? But you got to work at it.
Yeah.
It's not, he's not just going to hand it to you and everything.
And I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't just 8 seconds.
Yeah.
It's 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Yep.
Because you can make a difference in somebody's life, or they can watch what you're doing and think, look what he's accomplished. I'm going to try to do something like that. You know, and I'm not saying, I'm going to leave you with this one. There was an old man many years ago that was a rodeo announcer, and he had the same thing every rodeo you went to. He said, so you want to be a bull rider? Well, you get you a mouth full of marbles. And every time you ride a bull, you spit a marble out. And when you ain't got no marbles left, you're a bull rider, you know.
What does that even mean?
Your brains. When you ain't got no brains left, you know. And I think, well, that's Marvin right there. He knows it. But it was a lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, I did get to carry down that heritage. Like I said, Daddy was all-around champion at Hollis in 1952. Randy was in 72, and I was in 82, you know. So that was something that I wanted to do. But I tip my hat to all them youngins that's out there now because they are athletes, but what they're riding, them bulls in the PBR and at the national finals, and a lot of them, all them rodeos, they are gifted athletes themselves.
Well, and I do have one takeaway.
What's that, Sugar?
For everyone, a message. Don't be a Buffy. I think that's what we can leave everyone with. But that was fun. Thanks for taking us. I didn't know those stories, so thanks for taking us along the rodeo trail.
You know, I get a comment a lot sometimes on YouTube from some of them folks that ain't friendly, you know. They'll say, all hat, no cattle, no cowboy.
Yeah.
You know. I'm not saying I'm a better cowboy than anybody else, but I've been there, done that, mm-hmm. and enjoyed every minute of it. I still can relive some of them moments in my mind, but I can still feel the pain too, you know. You used to really laugh at me. I don't know if you thought it was funny, but we'd go somewhere to a doctor, and they'd say, well, have you had any trauma? And I'd say, no.
Not that I can think of. And I was like, they're like collarbone. Broken shoulder. Yeah.
Yeah.
No trauma. Good.
But whatever you're riding in life, whether you're a rodeo, whether you're just trying to get in the car, going down the road, be prepared.
Yeah.
Try to do your homework. Try to know that you're doing something good for the world and you can accomplish it if you put your heart into it and you pray about it. But we thank them all for joining us today.
It has been a great episode of Cowboy Coffee Hour. Please don't forget, join us every week. We're going to have more stories of faith, family, fortitude.
Fortitude. We do thank y'all each and every one. Remember, there is our regular cooking videos every Wednesday, podcast out every Sunday, Spotify, Apple, whatever you're listening to, our YouTube channel. But I want to tip my hat to all the servicemen and women, all the veterans that have kept that old flag flying, no matter where we be. We commend you all, and we lift you up in prayer daily. Rest of you, hey, we thank you so much for joining us. God bless you each and every one. We'll see you down the podcast trail.
Pioneer.